Well, hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I am your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Gail Scott, a certified coach and speaker, is returning to Love, Lust, and Laughter. And she was the first time on the show March 22nd. Welcome back, Gail Scott. So nice to have you.
Thank you, Diana. I'm happy to be here.
Great, great. Gail, would you give our listeners kind of a brief recap of the 22nd of March, just so that they know a little more of who you are? And, of course, the show is archived. I know it's up on your website, GailScottInc.com. But would you just tell us what a little bit about your background, just a minute or two, and then we'll get into tantric lifestyle and energy, sex, and more this time.
I'm happy to do that. So when I came on your show in March, the focus of that show, I remember, was a lot about my past story. I have a very traumatic story of childhood abuse, and it was a journey of healing and hope and help that I had taken on for myself, and using various success strategies in place over the last decade, lots and lots of different things that I had done. And we talked at length about how I had coped with what had happened to me and some of the things that I had decided to take on, and a lot about my mindset and about how that had evolved over the last 10 years of understanding the kind of childhood that I had had. And that was my recollection of our intense conversation that we had then.
And it was intense. And I think, and I wrote this up in the summary, that you are so brave and you're articulate and you've done the work. And given the kind of traumatic childhood you had and being molested by your father at age 9, continuing to intercourse at age 13, ending at age 16, it was a harrowing journey. I know some of these memories came up for you later, but you have really managed a lot of your healing through various success strategies.
Yes, I would have to say that I was very deliberate about how I wanted to heal, and I really wanted to heal in a holistic way where I was in control of all the healing that I was taking on. And so I was very specific about who I was going to work with, how I was going to do it, and what the outcomes were going to be. And I really didn't know why I was so driven to do that, but it certainly worked in my favor in the way of the awareness that I now have about myself as a woman, about what it's like to be a young woman and be powerless, and also about what happens to the body when we go through that kind of trauma and the healing that's required in order to grow into being a fully functioning sexual woman.
So you had in your prior marriage, you had pain with intercourse, and you did pelvic floor physical therapy, which I think was is what you're talking about, what happens to the body.
Yes, that experience was something that I really wasn't quite expecting to undergo, but I began to understand that the pain that I was experiencing every time that I was having sex wasn't normal. I actually thought it was normal at the beginning. And when I first went to see the therapist, the physiotherapist, just the mere slightest touch of her finger on my genitals just sent me through the roof. It felt like she was sticking a knife into me. And not only the physical pain of the therapy, but at the same time I had this intense pain in my head, which I couldn't quite come to terms with until I asked the physiotherapist what was going on. And she explained to me that when I was in the room at the time of the trauma, I could disassociate. That means take myself out of the situation so that my consciousness wasn't really present in order to make it bearable. But when I got onto her table, I couldn't escape from what was happening to me, and so all the memories were coming back, and that was my brain actually processing all of those painful memories. And I did have that experience as I went through certainly the first 10 weeks, which were really brutal. But I did continue for quite a long time after that in order to really begin to relax my pelvic floor.
Well, I know you here live in Toronto, Canada, right?
Yes, that's
right. And it's a very good thing. In America, we call it physical therapy, pelvic floor. It's very close. But we have in the Seattle area quite a few physical therapists who do this work, the pelvic floor. And I work with a number of women with vaginismus and pain with intercourse, other kinds of pain. And the PT, shortened PT, can help so much. If we have any listeners who are going through this, hopefully you're in a place that's resource rich, like the Seattle area is, and I'm gathering Toronto as well, find a PT. To do the mind-body healing is just essential. And so many women are helped a lot. I mean, you're able now to have intercourse pain-free, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I am. Yeah. Although I have to admit that it has taken some time for me to completely relax both my mind and my body in that experience. Still, to this day, I do have to consciously relax myself. I'm in a fairly new relationship, so I haven't been sexually active for quite a long time. Until now, and so it's almost like I'm learning it all new. But I'm in a very trusting, safe experience with someone that I know who cares for me very deeply, and so I'm able to express myself very clearly that, and also doing the tantric work, which we'll get into in a bit, but
yes, we will.
The ability to slow down the process, and I think that's something that most women maybe don't give themselves permission to ask for.
I think that's very true, and it sounds like you fortunately have a partner who is understanding, and you do feel safe.
Yes, and I think that that's crucial for anyone who wants to be able to ask for what they want and need in sex. And it's not just in sex. In any kind of intimate experience that you're having with someone, you want to be able to explain where you're at, what you need, why you need it if necessary, and have someone meet you at that place. And if they're not willing to do that, then perhaps you want to be looking at that situation as, is it a safe place for you to be? Can you fully be vulnerable and express yourself? And if you can't, the question is why? And so I've found myself, I've had to learn over the years how to be that way because I was always very self-protected. And sometimes not even aware that I was doing that. So stepping out of my comfort zone has meant being willing to ask for things to be slower, being willing to say, no, I'm not ready to move to the next place yet. Or also being willing as a woman to control what happens during intercourse. So I'm the one that's directing things so that it's going at my pace.
It's essential. It's essential for you, especially with your sexual trauma in your history. I think this might be a good place to talk about the two parallel nervous systems in our bodies. We have the sympathetic nervous system, which is activated by stress. So it triggers our fight or flight response. And then we have the parasympathetic nervous system, and it kicks in when we don't feel at risk and it feels safe to relax. And a lot of people, a lot of my clients are constantly stressed out and have difficulty accessing the parasympathetic nervous system's relaxation response. And that it's essential that you activate that parasympathetic nervous system's relaxation response. And you learned to do it, didn't you, Gail?
Yes, and I've actually learned to do it in several different ways. But one of the biggest ways for me was through a breathing technique that I was taught from a chiropractor, which also really helped me in the tantric work that I do. But the ability to breathe in and out of different areas of my body helped me to, one, become aware of those different areas of my body, and also just begin to get used to the fact that all I need to do is breathe. And I think that many yeah. of us work on multiple levels at the same time. You know, we got to do this and that and the next thing. You don't have to do that. You just have to stop and just breathe. And mm-hmm. and that's part of a tantric practice too, even with yourself, but also with a partner. And when we do that, that experience of slowly breathing in and out actually stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system and activates the oxytocin, which, you know, we can get from that. We can get it from a really heartfelt hug and from feeling safe.
And feeling safe. And part of, from a physiological point of view, the amygdala, the fear center of our brains, needs to take a nap for a woman to be orgasmic. And the step before that is, as you say, to feel safe. I talk with my clients about, it's related to what we've just discussed, and that is visualizing for sex success. And, you know, athletes do this for sure. They practice visualization techniques so that they can perform optimally. And so I suggest to clients, not and even just for anybody, it's not necessarily with the sexual trauma that you've had in your history, but first relax. I say lie on your back on a mat or a rug with your arms at your sides and take a deep breath and hold it for a moment and then exhale. Lie still and continue breathing slowly. And once you're relaxed, picture yourself about to have sex, or as I actually encourage my clients to use the word intercourse because I think of sex is so much more than, right? Mm-hmm. And then patiently go through the step-by-step sequence of events and imagine every aspect of the session, including the sights and the sounds and the smells associated with sexual activity. And I suggest that they try to rehearse the action in the mind just as you would actually perform it. And it's all about mental practice, so that when the time comes for the actual moment, the confidence may be higher. Did you have some sort of version of this?
Oh, yes, I have. I've actually had many versions of that, Diana.
Yeah.
The initial version I had was I had panic attacks when I first had a lover after I discovered this information about myself. And I just could not understand why I was having such trauma. And so I went to a mindfulness meditation course. And in, mm-hmm. as part of that course, I was instructed to do exactly what you just said, sit myself down and meditate and actually bring to mind. In this time, though, I was bringing to mind the experience I was having in the panic attack. And that was in order to just get the awareness in my body of what was happening to me physiologically. And then when I expressed it out loud, it almost just dissipates. And it's a Jon Kabat-Zinn process that he teaches where mm-hmm. it's just like a bubble that just, you know, goes through water. And so that was my initial training in how to relieve a lot of the PTSD that I was feeling. And then, like you mentioned, the mental rehearsing is something that I've used over and over again in terms of understanding that my brain actually doesn't know the difference between what is real and what is not real. And I know statistically that if I practice in my mind something that is going to be positive, I'm going to bring that about, and I'm going to have that awareness, and my brain patterning is shifting as I'm practicing it in my mind. So I've had a lot of different experiences where I've done that, not just in the sexual realm as well. So I completely agree with you on that.
You're really, you have persevered. I'm so admiring of your persevering and your journey and the success you've had, and it continues to be a journey. I know. You have two daughters, is it, from your first marriage?
Yes, I do. One is 18 and the other one is almost 21.
Oh, and are they doing well?
They're amazing. They are so amazing.
I guess.
And I'm very proud. One of the reasons why I'm still here on this earth is I got a very clear message when I was at one of my lowest points that the reason why I was here was to be here for them. And I have actually changed the trajectory of their future based on the work that I've done myself, because I know coming from a dysfunctional family that those attitudes and beliefs and behaviors are carried forward in the genes and in the practices of families. And so what I've created with my children is a very open and honest conversation about anything, including sex. And so they know that they can come to me with any questions. They know they can talk to me about anything. And I've learned to drop the idea that there's anything that's shameful or embarrassing or out with the topic of conversation. And I think that it's a problem that we have nowadays with people, and not just with children and their parents, but between adults, between couples, where they don't openly talk about what's happening, especially in their sex life.
It's really true. Of course, my daughter and my son could not escape it. Their mother being a sex therapist. In fact, Gail, on May 6th, which was my birthday, in the Globe and Mail newspapers, and I think that's across Canada.
Yes, it is.
My daughter's story, her name is Kate Wiley, was published, and its title is My Mother, the Sex Therapist.
Cool.
And you might look it up. It would be online. Some of it is a little exaggerated, but the messages are really nice, and I'm complimented that she said, for instance, that when she was at Georgetown University and I was invited to come there and talk, and the whole football team showed up too, she was so embarrassed. And then she describes in the piece how something has shifted. And, of course, it's helped that she has two little boys. And I'm now grandmother. It's grandma. It's very nice. It's glamorous grandmother. But so she describes all of that. And she lives actually in Victoria, B.C., because she's married to a Canadian. Did you know
that at all? And I think you're right, Diana. Yeah. I think that it's just a case of, you know, time is a great thing. When my kids were younger, they were embarrassed. And now that they're older and they're looking at these topics in a way that, you know, how is it going to affect their lives moving forward as a young woman? And, you know, asking me questions, and we're having the conversations. And my daughter even asked me something yesterday, and she said, oh, her friend said, no, your mother will never go for that. And she said, no, I think she will. And, you know, she asked me something, and I said, sure. And it's really, it's a gift to be able to be that open with my children and have them understand that this is not a taboo subject. This is not something that we should be not talking about. In fact, it's the complete opposite.
Yes, absolutely. You articulate all of this well, and I think your daughters are very fortunate to have such an open mother and a mother who's done a lot of psychological sexual work in order to be healthier.
Yes, and I definitely have done that. Sometimes I mean myself.
Isn't that great? But haven't your confidence grown in the process?
Well, yes, and my confidence has grown through trial and error, almost, you know, fire and brimstone, where I would want something to be different, and I would go out there and find out about it. I was the one that was constantly pushing myself to learn about all of these different things, including Tantra, and saying to myself, it's got to be better than this. It's got to be better than this. Why am I the way I am? What is it about sex? What is it about intimacy? And going to things and learning and buying books and reading it and doing all the work and seeing different practitioners and doing the healing and just keeping following my nose with the next thing that showed up in my life. So
that's what I've been doing. That's wonderful, Gail. And I really like one, I encourage people, by the way, to go to your website. You have lots of interesting articles there. And one is Sex for the Suddenly Single Woman. Mm. And you open that piece by saying, sex is a raw, animalistic, needed experience for us as human beings, just like food and water. Yes, it really is.
It is. And most of us, you know, we have different learning from the media, from our families, from traditions, from cultures. And yet, at the end of the day, we are sexual beings. We are. And so there's no point denying it. We make it a really pleasurable, enriching, deepening, authentic, honoring experience for ourselves, with ourselves, and also with a partner?
Yes, I am very fortunate because after I was widowed a number of years ago, and dating, online dating and all that, I did find an exceptional man through Match.com 5.5 years ago. And my daughter says I've had 4 marriages. Well, I'm not married yet to Brian, and she didn't mention that the third one was, I was widowed. I know I would have stayed married to Charlie, but he died. Anyway, still most of her article is very good and all of that. But Brian, he has 7 rules for sensational sex. And I want to run these past you and get your reaction, and then we'll segue into tantric sex, which has helped you, and I think it's helped a number of my clients too. So Brian's rules are 1, take care of yourself. 2, communicate openly and directly. 3, focus on your partner's pleasure. 4, respect boundaries. 5, don't take anything personally. 6, express gratitude. And 7, let go. And, of course, number 7 is essential for orgasms. I feel very fortunate to be with a man who's so sexually enlightened and fortunate to be practicing what I preach all the time. And I was very, very lucky because I didn't have to go through all the trauma. I didn't have really any trauma since I know you've done emotionally focused therapy, and you're familiar with attachment. I was really lucky because I had secure attachment. And so I didn't have to go through it. That doesn't mean that I don't have plenty of compassion and empathy for women like yourself who have had to go through it.
Yes, and those 7 rules that you mentioned they're really crucial for creating a healthy relationship, whether it's within sex or not. All of those rules are actually relevant for any kind of relationship that you have with anyone. and honoring yourself is the number one priority. Because when we don't honor ourselves, then we've lost ourselves. And at that point, you're not a gift to your partner. Or you're not a gift to yourself either if you're not honoring yourself.
Well, precisely. And that's nicely expressed, too, in your piece, Sex for the Suddenly Single Woman. That you have to... Well, actually, I call it enlightened selfishness. You've got to take care of yourself and talk about your needs and ask for what you want, which is really hard for lots of women. So shall we talk a little bit about tantric sex? Because it's helped you, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean... I look at sex as sex, just regular sex that's out there anywhere you go. It's just regular sex. It's an activity between two people. Tantric sex, on the other hand, is an experience, a very deep and meaningful experience that you can actually create with anyone. Not necessarily someone you're in a relationship with. I have had very deep and meaningful tantric experiences with people in workshops that I just met that weekend. But when you're in a place where it's safe and it's slowed down and the focus is on the senses and on sensuality and on letting go and on being grateful, on being open, on honoring and accessing the divine between people, being mindful and all of those, and being in exploration, it creates a very different context and a very different environment for you to explore your own experience and the experience of the other person. And my initiation into Tantra was through healing. I realized I needed healing, and I found someone who did tantric healing. And what I discovered in the first experience I had with her was it was about exploring my body as a sacred temple and really understanding that touching my body and experiencing it through different forms of touch created an exquisite experience that I'd never had before. And whether it was someone stroking my hair or being in an aromatherapy bath or someone just using a very light touch on my skin, it was getting to understand, and also doing it for myself, it was beginning to understand that there was a different way that I could experience the sexual experience other than what I had learned out there in the rest of the world. And that this experience, using breath, using energy, using senses, using different tools and techniques, would bring me to an extremely different kind of experience. Still very erotic, very sensual, very pleasurable, very connected. And I could do it by myself, or I could do it with a partner. And that kind of just blew my mind.
Yes, in beautifully expressed, and so such an important part of your healing journey. In the tantric yoga tradition, sex is the life energy that flows through the body, and its energy centers, the chakras, right? The heart, the head, pelvis, and so on. And so you and a partner can learn to channel this energy and ride it to maximum pleasure. Yay. And oftentimes,
absolutely. And that has been my experience. And
yes,
when I explain to people about Tantra and I explain to them, do you realize that you can have an orgasm without even touching yourself? And they look at you like you're crazy. But there's a lot of letting go that has to happen. There's a lot of trust mm-hmm. that needs to happen. There's a lot of connection that needs to happen. Oftentimes there's a lot of healing that needs to happen to open up the chakras so that the energy can flow up there, up and down and back and around.
Back and around, yeah.
Yeah, back and around. So it's there's so many different ways that you can begin to build it. And I think that in my experience, it's being willing to try new things that we're not used to doing. And a lot of the tantric work that I've done and that I like to do with people is to help them to understand that it's the divine that I'm seeing in another person and in myself that creates that deep connection with another person. And when yeah. we come from that place, we can harness the energy in a very different way. Because the feeling is very different. We're not getting anywhere. We're just having an experience. There's no, mm-hmm. you're not working towards something. You're working in something.
So it's not focused on the destination. It's simply reveling in the journey.
Absolutely. And in fact, there is no destination. The destination mm-hmm. Is the current experience you're having in the moment. Orgasm is a byproduct of that. You either will or you won't, and it doesn't matter because you can have an expanded sexual, pleasurable experience with another person without having any kind of orgasm, but it'll definitely mm-hmm. be different. Mm-hmm. Or you can go the whole way and you can have full body orgasms where you can have it with or without touch. You can have it in or not having sex. That's what's so incredible about it. It's so creative.
It's so creative, and you can experiment and explore. I think that it's helpful for people trying some of the tantric sex to start with soul gazing.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I've done in some of my workshops is just put men and women together and have them stand in arms width apart from each other. And I put on a timer and I say, your job today is simply to meet the gaze of this person in front of you. And I say the question you want to be asking yourself is, who are you really? Because when we meet mm-hmm. another person, we really don't know who they are. We may think we know, mm-hmm. but we don't. And that deep, intimate connection that comes with eye gazing can be very uncomfortable for many people. And I know myself, when I first started doing it, mm-hmm. it was very uncomfortable because you really are looking into the eyes of the other person's divine soul, which may sound kind of crazy, but I've seen people have very strong reactions to it.
So people look into each other's eyes, touch hands, and breathe in sync to merge the energy of the heart and pelvic chakras.
Mm. And you can actually put your hand onto your partner's heart space, which is the space between in the middle of their chest. And what that does is it connects. Actually, there are chakras in the palm of the hand which are directly connected to the heart chakra. And so doing that, you have an even deeper energy connection with another person. You can also take your partner and you can place one hand on the genitals, not doing any kind of manipulation or anything, just almost cradling the genital space that they have, mm-hmm. and the other hand on their heart space and gaze mm-hmm. into their eyes. And you're channeling the energy between them. It's a very, very deep, deep, meaningful experience between people.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think if we're talking about tantric sex, one key point is polarity. And this is... I think in a moment we're going to talk about the goddess, but this is where the goddess comes in, because sexual energy springs from opposing charges, the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yin and the yang.
Mm-hmm.
The greater the polarity, the more intense the sexual charge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that polarity, yeah. that masculine feminine, is in everybody. So that polarity actually fluctuates between partners. So in some instances, you know, the man will be exuding the masculine energy and the woman the feminine, and then it will switch around, and it will be the woman who is exuding the masculine energy and the man who is exuding the feminine energy. And so that switch back and forth creates an ebb and a flow of different kind of sexual energy between them. And what I find really interesting is that most women nowadays who are out there in the workplace come a lot from their masculine energy on a day-to-day basis. And when they come home at night, they're in a relationship with another person, probably a man, who is also trying to be in his masculine energy. And so we don't have that polarity going on anymore. And so when I speak to women, they say, well, you know, I want my man to be a man. And I say, are you willing to hold yourself in a space of vulnerable strength in the feminine? Will you be a goddess? Will you allow him to be the warrior for you? They have no idea what that means. They don't know how to embody that.
That's right. In Tantra, if we talk about our inner Shiva, the warrior, that would be for the man typically, or Shakti, the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And so the interaction between Shiva and Shakti is designed to heighten polarity and to restore the goddess to her glory, actually.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, when you think about the genitals and you think about the lingam, and the Sanskrit word is lingam, and it means wand of light, and basically that is why the man has this erect penis. It is a, you know, it's pointing outwards. And so she has the yoni, which is the sacred space that he gets to enter into her temple. And so he is bringing his energy into her, and she is receiving it. And when you do the tantric breathing, you are, as a woman, you are breathing that in within intercourse and then sharing it through your heart into your partner's heart, which then goes down through his chakras and back through the lingam again and back into you. And you can swing back and forth within that breathing cycle, where someone, you know, he will be receiving and then she will be giving. And it's a very, it's a kind of cool experience to be able to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And so it's with the back and forth, but still it might start out that the man's job is to give pleasure and the woman's is to let go and let the goddess out. And then it can switch. I mean, as you say, there can be an ebb and flow and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that with some of the couples that I counsel, that if they can get into this idea that the man's job is to give pleasure and the woman's job is to let the goddess out, my Brian says, worship your woman and the goddess will reward you. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love being the goddess, and I love being worshipped, and it enables me to let go that much more.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of ties in because a lot of men have performance anxiety, so the men will ask themselves, "How am I doing?" And women will ask, "How do I look?" And so we have to get past that, and that's one reason I think tantric sex can be so good.
One of the exercises that I would take a couple through is where we do some adoration exercises, where we do some body appreciation. And so, for example, you can have different rituals where you're going to connect with your partner, and where your partner is actually going to adore you as the warrior, the god, the Shiva, and do it not just with touch, but with talking and actually saying things to their partner that builds that up within the masculine. And the same with the man, where he can, you know, look at this woman who is his goddess, and he can adore her as the goddess that she is. And when a couple do that with coming from a place of honoring each other, it opens up a trust whereby each of the partners feels fulfilled in the role that they're playing. And it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, connected to what you just said, Gail, it's part of cultivating open-heartedness, which helps couples literally synchronize their heart's energy fields, and charge up their encounters, that open-heartedness.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful experience because
when you're in that place where you trust and where you do feel the honoring, and you are in the space of the divine, the ability for the sexual energy to charge and to move through you, it happens much faster and much easier. And one minute you'll be lying there with someone having this wonderful, intimate, close, pleasurable experience, not really aware of the energy, just feeling it beginning, and then the next thing you'll be shuddering into a full body orgasm. It can be very, very simple, or it can be very elaborate, and both of them are very pleasurable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really impressed with your in-depth knowledge, experiential knowledge, it sounds like. I find that energy sex is magical in the sense that it's not easily explained by our rational mind.
No, definitely not easily explained, no. Except that what I say to people is that when you have that sensation where all is right in the world, and you feel some kind of a tingle going on within you, it could be from an encounter with a family member, it could be with a pet, it could be out in nature, it could be where you're just in awe, in wonder of the world that we live in, looking up at the stars when you're in the Caribbean, something like that. That is the enormity of the incredible power of this energy, where it's just, you just can't explain it. And yet, in Tantra, you get to actually feel it within your body.
Feel it, yeah. I think every time that people can do energy sex, and this is, you know, they're more evolved, you're taking a vacation from fight and flight, and it's really good for your health. I think of myself and Brian, my fiance, you know, we're seniors, and yet I just think that we have this fountain of youth going on because it's it's good for your blood pressure and lots of health benefits. And since I used to live in Hawaii, I think it's like wine on a Hawaiian beach with orgasms.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's very simple to start the process. It's not a difficult, intricate, you know, lots of different things you got to learn to do it. It's not like that. To me, it's a willingness to slow down everything that you're doing. not just with yourself, but with a partner, in order to be able to begin the process of doing these practices. You know, adoring someone, honoring them, touching them, exploring, allowing, is really what it's about. It's a very deep, intimate connection that most of us actually can do without really trying, but Tantra makes it deliberate. You're mm-hmm. deliberately doing it.
You know, that is so very true. Because good sex is intentional. It's not spontaneous. And in fact, a little bit later, I'm going to be seeing a couple. And she's a highly trained professional woman. She's a little bit more of the man in the relationship. And she believes that good sex should be spontaneous. And he's not up for that, literally.
Well, I think there's definitely a place for both. And you can be spontaneous within a tantric practice.
Yeah.
Because at any point, you could just sit down and eye gaze. That's pretty spontaneous. You know, you could just sit down and hold hands. You could just sit down and touch your partner's hair. You could sit down and just feed them ever so slowly. All of those kinds of, you know, my boyfriend is funny because he will say to me that everything that we do is foreplay. Everything is foreplay. Whether he opens
like
a car door for me, or he feeds me something, or we're walking hand in hand, or we're having a conversation about something, everything is foreplay, and it's all tantric foreplay.
Tantric, yeah.
You know, it's knowing what's going to get your juices flowing.
Doctor, she's an MD, Luann Brizentine, has written two books. First, she wrote The Female Brain. She's a psychiatrist and a neurobiologist. And then she wrote The Male Brain. They're both excellent books. And she states that the 24 hours before a couple has sexual relations is the foreplay. And women particularly need this.
Yes.
24
absolutely.
Hours ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that women don't give themselves permission to do all of those things that they want to do prior to having sex with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing is a great tool that we can engage in with a partner, which is great foreplay. And it can be sexual or non-sexual, and being willing to express ourselves, being willing to enjoy each other, whether it's listening to music or dancing or just connecting and just slowing down and being willing to surrender that you're not engaged in the outcome and just being present to what's going on with that other person. And connecting. How many people come home from a busy day at work and don't stop to connect with themselves or with each other? And that's foreplay.
Absolutely, it is. Yes. Slowing down. Now, I'm just noticing. See, I live in a building that's getting all of this renovation. And actually, I'm not in my apartment now because they were drilling, but I'm looking out the window. I'm in the lounge area. It's a little more quiet. So I was distracted momentarily, but I heard what you said. But slowing down, and, you know, I have found that because I give my couples homework assignments to do, of course, some men report that they get very emotional and cry or shout because they've never been loved in such a way when they're slowing down.
Yes.
And so I think it's important for the two people involved to think, right now I'm here with an open heart, an open heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like...
And I also think, Diana, that men are notorious, of course, having been brought up with the belief, you know, that they can't cry, they can't express themselves. And yet, in the rituals that I've seen and that I've done, it's very profound. It's a very profound and deep and healing experience for a man to be honored by a woman. And of the men that I've spoken to, and I say to them, you know, how would you feel if your woman saw you as a warrior and you saw her as the goddess? And they just look at me like I'm talking a totally different language. And yet I've seen it happen with men where they do get very emotional because you're right, they've never been given space to be able to have that free experience. And it can be very emotional.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you know, one reason I've been doing this work for 33 years now is that it is, and I bet you experience this too, it is so deeply satisfying to help people reconnect. Because there's nothing like a really good, intimate sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm. And for people to just slow down and just allow themselves to be, you know, just be who they really are with another person. I think that's something that we deal with a lot, especially in the workplace where people are fearful that people are going to find out that they're not who they say they are. And yet in a relationship, many times it's the very same thing. People are chameleons. And when you do this kind of work, you discover yourself and the reality of yourself. And that's also a big thing when it comes to vulnerability, is being willing to express yourself and also ask for what you want. We were mentioning that before, but just to do simple things, which really heightens the intensity of the intimacy that people have with each other.
You are a very wise woman, Gail.
Thank you.
And don't you feel good about the journey you've taken on?
I do. I do, thank you.
Yeah.
I feel it now.
It hasn't been easy. Yeah.
No,
right.
It's not been easy, but it's been very exciting. It's been a huge roller coaster, and I really see myself on the other side now, and really, really enjoying what I'm learning, what I'm teaching, what I'm writing about, and having conversations like this to educate people that there's another way that they can connect with themselves and with other people, and it's available to everyone and relatively cheaply. I mean, Tantra is not an expensive practice. You don't need to spend a lot of money on it, so... It's fairly
and
simple.
And men can even, through tantra sex, they can even learn to have an orgasm without ejaculating.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is very exciting for lots of people. And it can make prolonged intercourse, which can stimulate the cervix and the G-spot and create more orgasms.
And also understanding that it happens, well, for me, it happened almost in layers. You know, I had to learn how to relax my body. I had to learn how to accept touch. I had to learn how to trust. I had to learn how to open up my body in a way that would let the energy flow, that would let me relax more, that would allow me to receive more pleasure. Understanding what my own needs and desires were and being willing to say no to what wasn't working, being willing to ask for what I need, and also taking care of myself in a way that would allow me to be the most relaxed. And sometimes I think a lot of people nowadays just don't take the time to do that even.
Well, and in the process, you have learned through visualization to relax yourself. And so going from the into your parasympathetic nervous system, and then in the process switching off your neuromuscular inhibitor switch.
And a lot of women. And practicing myself, Diana, before I had a partner. So
yes, and you,
you know,
and you've
taking
been doing
the time
that
to learn what it was that I needed to begin to understand my own body and my own energy, and my own love languages, as Gary Chapman calls them, and understanding how to give to myself and being willing to ask for it. And, you know, even just giving myself body massage, even, you know, learning to move my body to music in a way that was free so that when I was with my partner, I could play a little and I could feel a little bit more comfortable with it.
So you essentially did sensate focus exercises. And by the way, Gail, I'm going to have you back. We need to do a part three. You just offer this program so much. So I'll talk with you off the air about that. But give some of my, you're welcome, some of my clients sensate focus exercises for one. And it sounds like that's what you were talking about.
Well, it's so important that we slow down. You know, I teach people how to touch. How to touch someone else in a way that works for them, and then how to be touched in a way that works for you, and how to be able to ask someone to touch you in a way that is respectful and in gratitude and also teaching, so that down the road when you get into genital touch that's not working for you, you're able to have the languaging and the confidence to be able to ask for what you want and for and to play around with it and to not be so hard on yourself and not be so competitive about it, you know, and say, oh my goodness, if I say it wrong, or I'm afraid I'll be controlling, or what if it doesn't work, and to see it all as an exploration, because that's really what it is.
Yes, it is. Gail, we're coming to the end of the program. For you listeners, I'll write this up, but her website is GailScottInc.com. And you write, using my program to teach others how to build self-trust, self-confidence, and self-expression to create intimacy with self and partner. And you do that very well. Gail, thank you so much for returning to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Diana. It was a total pleasure.
Well, we'll do this again. Goodbye, everybody.
Happy feet.